So the recording's going. Okay. Welcome back. So we can't get the audio onto our live stream, and so the live stream's ended on Facebook, so we're no longer live streaming, which is going to be a very popular thing. We will put the audio up. We usually wait for a couple of days. We'll put the audio up first thing tomorrow. GM, yep. We'll put it up straight away so people can hear it in the morning. At the end of this meeting, I'll do a video just up on the Facebook page and say, here's what we decided, particularly on the land sales, because that's what people are going to be interested in. Yes, half of Bruny Island's going to be trying to watch this. I can't think of anyone's got any better ideas. Or that's deferred. No, they want to hear that we're not selling the land, I think is what they want to hear. As far as I can tell, there's no support here for selling that land, so I think tonight's a great night to opt to... anyway, we're well out of order. Yes. No, it shouldn't be... are we still streaming? Or should probably not be streaming. Okay. That's not ideal. Okay. None of us here, apart from Kelly, have access to Council's Facebook page to actually do this. Oh, good, thank you. We've tried to call them, and Ms. Nichols, so we're going to turn off the stream now, and can you just put a note up there to say that at the end of the meeting we'll communicate everything as soon as the meeting's over in terms of what happened. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Where were we? 6:08. Yeah. So we'll resume the meeting at 6:08, and the next item was we finished with questions without notice from councillors, and so we now have questions on notice from councillors. Also missed any questions without notice. Aboriginal flag for citizenship ceremonies. Council's intention to sell Alana property. Hard waste collection service, construction of pathway through Spring Farm, compliance activities and cost of communications and engagement activities. The open session... the open session is now adjourned and the planning authority will commence at 6:08 p.m. And the first item is DA 2020-437. Would anyone like to move the motion on page 16? Moved by Councillor Grace. Seconded by Councillor Street. Councillor Grace...
I don't know what to say about it unless other councillors have anything, Mayor.
There's a condition that was discussed earlier. Oh, Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. So just further add to Councillor Grace's not very many comments, just for the public, for the minutes and the audio recording, the proposal is to construct two multiple dwellings in the general residential zone of the Kingborough Interim Planning Scheme. The proposal can meet the relevant acceptable solutions or adequately satisfy the scheme. Six representations were received, and on page 15 and 16, staff have outlined these, and there are 10 conditions in the recommendation, and thank you, that's all.
Thank you. Councillor Stone.
Thank you. I'd just like to ask a question of Mrs. Tyler Moore. On page 16, 2.5.5, a general residential zone does not restrict the use of colours and it doesn't form part of the assessment of this building. Is this always the case in general residential zones, that there is no no restriction on colour.
Ms. Tylemore.
Through you, Mayor, the zoning itself may not ask for it, but the overlay codes that might be on the same property, because as you know, there's a zone and there might be codes, so the heritage code may apply and have colour restrictions, the scenic landscape code, and one of the other zones. So yes, you can, but in this instance, there's no codes that trigger colour.
Why?
Sorry, still dealing with this. Councillor Rees.
Thank you. Just one comment, and that is that there was placed into the conditions on page 18 an error in condition 5. That is the pesky condition in relation to landscaping that has been discussed many a time. I know that Ms. Tylemore did email us a few days ago to let us know that that had snuck in there by error, so I appreciate her picking that up. So I wanted to move that part 5 of the recommendation be deleted and the others renumbered accordingly.
So you just want the mover and second to agree to that?
Yeah.
Ask Councillor Grace agrees, and the seconder was
Councillor
Street. You are happy with that, Councillor Street?
Can I seek clarification on exactly what that is?
Sure, I think we're just working through to which number.
So it's unless otherwise agreed in writing by the responsible authority, the landscaping areas shown on the endorsed plans must be used for landscaping and no other purpose, and any landscaping must be maintained to the satisfaction of the responsible authority, including that any dead, diseased or damaged plants are to be replaced. So that's the provision that we've talked about and removed consistently for probably the last, or most of this year.
So what's happened is that 5's been deleted and 6 now becomes 5, yep. And so on, and that's now apparent in the on the screen that you're looking at.
So the one that I just read out was number 5, but it's been taken out.
Councillor Fox.
Could I ask why that is being taken out, or put it the other way, could I ask the staff why it was put in the first place?
Well, it's been taken out by a councillor who's asked for it to be, has moved an amendment, it's been agreed to by the mover and the seconder, but I'm happy to defer to Ms. Tylemore if you'd like advice as to why it was included in the first place.
Yes, I'd like to
Ms.
know.
Ms. Tylemore.
Thank you.
Through you, Mayor, the condition was put in there by error because it is councillor's position that they don't want the condition in there. It was put in by accident out of standard conditions.
I guess, through you, Mayor, a standard condition usually has a reason. Is it because there are houses in proximity that would be protected by this, or is it something that would otherwise benefit the surrounding area?
With respect, Councillor Fox, we've had this debate 3 separate times about this condition, and you're asking us to rehash the same debate that we've had. There's a difference of opinion. I know that you like the condition as it is. The vote continues to be the majority didn't want the condition, and it's a difference of opinion. There's no right or wrong. You're welcome to your opinion. The councillors are welcome to their own, but the motion as it reads does not include the condition. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I also sit with Councillor.
You have already spoken on this, though, so
this one.
You'd be asking a question if you were going to make a contribution. Any other contributions?
I have a question then. So does that mean, so if I look around our municipality and in different landscaping for developments, we see dead plants and they're dead and they've been planted as part of the landscaping plan, and therefore they just sit there dead. They don't have to be removed. They don't have to be planted again. That's what we are going with, and I'm sorry.
Yep,
that's what we're looking at, basically. So dead plants, dead trees.
You're no longer questioning. You're contributing.
I've got a question.
Right, Councillor Cordova.
Has there been any community consultation or indeed community feedback about our incessant focus on the minutiae of this particular course?
No, there hasn't.
Just thought. Yeah.
Okay. To sum up, Councillor Grace. No. Okay. The motion is as printed, with the removal of condition 5. I'll just read the just the start bit, which is that the planning authority resolves that the development application for two multiple dwellings at 41 Eldridge Drive, Kingston, for SJM Property Developments be approved subject to the following conditions. As we said, they are as printed with the removal of five, so it means there are nine conditions. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Grace, in favour. Councillor Grace, Councillor Street, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Reid, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Minchley, Councillor Wass, Councillor Winner, and those against is Councillors Fox and Cordova. The motion is carried. Next item is the planning session is planning authority now adjourns and open session commences at 6:16 p.m. And the next item is on page 37, which is motions of which have been given. Councillor Reid has a motion that she has provided on notice. Would you like to move that, Councillor Reid?
Yes, please.
Would anyone like to second the motion? Seconded by Councillor Street. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I move the motion in my name that's printed in the agenda. What this motion is seeking to do is to replace our current customer charter policy with a new complaints framework. And it is proposed that this is based on a document produced by the Victorian Ombudsman in 2015 entitled Councils and Complaints, a Good Practice Guide. Now, in making that recommendation, I looked at the complaints handling policies of and customer service charters of a number of different Tasmanian councils. I have to say it was difficult to, in some cases, to actually find how to make a complaint at any council. And I sadly have to say that that includes our own. It's not very obvious if you go into our own website and search for complaints. It's very difficult to find how one actually makes one. It's not clearly articulated, and I don't think that that is best practice. I'm moving this motion also so that we can fulfil the vision that we have articulated in our 2025 strategic plan, and I know that everybody here is familiar with the with our vision, and that is our community as it is at the heart of everything that we do. I think that with having a robust policy in place, that we would develop in consultation with our customers, those who live and work in the municipality, we can achieve that vision that we've articulated. Without that, it would be very difficult. We also, as well as having this framework, we do need to ensure that staff receive adequate training to best use the framework so they feel confident about its implementation. As I have stated in the background information to the motion, complaints are not something to be feared. They should be regarded as a really valuable resource on what we do and how we do it. But importantly, they need to be handled well. We can have the best policy in the world, but at the heart of it will be its implementation. And through my various roles that I've been in state and local government for the last 25 years, there's one common element that I've noticed with people who get in touch to make a complaint. They want to be heard, which is their right in the democratic society that we're very lucky to live in. They want to be treated with respect, and they want to be written to in plain, accessible, clear language, and I can't tell you the number of ministerial letters that my staff and I had to redraft to show to people that we could communicate with them in a way that they could understand, that showed them that we had listened, that we cared, that we offered clear explanations about the matter that they were talking to us about. I'm realistic enough to know that we can never solve every complaint that somebody comes to us with, and that's the reality of not only the nature of some of those complaints, but resource constraints as well. But what I'm reminded of when I think about sort of customer service and how we deal with complaints is the quote, at the end of the day, people won't remember what you said or did, but they will remember how you made them feel. And I want us, as a council, to strive to make every person who comes into contact with us feel positive in their dealings with Kingborough Council. So I would like us to have a workshop as councillors about this framework And then I would also like to see us provide the opportunity for individuals and groups, such as key stakeholders, to have input into the new draft document. As some of the research that's been done on customer complaints highlights, if complaints are handled well, there are benefits not only for the individuals but for the organisations as well. So I am very passionate about this. I do hope that it has the support. I do note that there was an error in the officer's comment in relation to this, that I'm not actually asking for a report. I'm asking for this framework to be done. I've put into the recommendation and implementation dates. I'm now also highlighting that I'd like to see a workshop on this. So I look forward to this matter progressing and implementing this by the middle of next year.
Councillor Fox.
Firstly, a matter of protocol. I thought all motions that come from council, councillors, need to be supported by a report. And this document that Councillor Reid would like us to adopt now, or at least the motion, the only report we have from officers is to say that a report will be provided. And I am not comfortable with supporting a motion from council right now without a full report as to what we already do. I'm quite comfortable with changing the process, but I would like to have a report first. I see complaints also as an opportunity for us to make changes and to understand what the issues are and concerns of our residents, and to be able to have the opportunity to explain issues. And quite often when someone has a complaint and they have an explanation of why things are the way they are and how it fits into the bigger picture, they will accept that decision, and they are the wiser and we are the wiser. So I don't disagree with the concept, but I don't support the fact that we're making a decision here tonight without an officer's report. And through you, Mayor, I would like to ask our General Manager to comment on my concerns.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Fox, I'm glad you asked, because earlier today I did email Councillor Reid, and I do apologise, I should have, in hindsight, then emailed all the councillors. But in essence, the officers do support this notice of motion from Councillor Reid, and what the officer's response should have said was that, assuming councillor support, a report will be provided after A and B of the notice of motion have been undertaken to, in time, to enable C and D to occur.
Yep. No other lights on at this point. Look, I think someone should say something positive about it. This is a really good motion. And I think it's something that we can improve on. I agree with everything Councillor Reid said, especially about embracing complaints or understanding that when you get them, it's an opportunity for improvement. And making sure that we've got a robust framework that allows people to, not only us to know that we've dealt with it appropriately, but people to feel satisfied at the end of it that they've got a fair hearing. So I'm really pleased that this has come through, and I, thank you, Councillor Reid. To sum up, Councillor Reid.
Thank you for that contribution, and I appreciate what Councillor Fox has said. I was expecting there might be some further commentary from staff, unfortunately, that got lost in the process, but I am very keen that we do have a workshop as an opportunity for everybody here to look at what the Victorian framework is, to discuss, you know, what amendments we might make and how we can actually adapt this the best way. And I also am very keen on some community engagement in this area as well, so I want to make it as inclusive as we possibly can. So hopefully there will be plenty of opportunities for everyone here to have an input as we progress this. Thanks.
Okay, so the motion moved by Councillor Reid and seconded by Councillor Street is that Council A develops a new complaints handling system framework based on the 2015 document produced by the Victorian Ombudsman entitled Councillors and Complaints, a good practice guide. B, in line with the Council's community engagement framework, makes a draft document available for residents and key stakeholders to provide feedback for improvement to the framework. C, provide staff training on the new complaints handling framework so that all staff can deal with complaints in line with the new framework. And D, that the work be completed for implementation in the new financial year starting 1 July 2021. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, motion's carried unanimously. The next item is petitions still being actioned. there are no petitions still being actioned. Petitions received in the last period. So there's a petition containing 51 signatures that was received by the council as follows, and it's written written there in the document. There's a recommended motion in the agenda paper on page 39, but I noted Mr. Arnold's email earlier today where he suggested that potentially a different motion could be put. Second by Councillor Fox. Would anyone like to foreshadow the other motion?
Yes, I will foreshadow the other motion.
Yep.
If this one's lost.
Okay, great. So the motion is that the petition containing 51 signatures be received and referred to the appropriate department for a report to council. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillors Fox, Cordova and Mitchelly. Those against is Councillors Grace, Street, Bastone, Reid, Westwood, Walsh and Winter. The motion is lost. Councillor Street, would you like to move the motion? I'm not sure if Mr. Smee's got it.
That motion being that the petition containing 172 signatures be received and matters raised considered as part of item 17.1, properties for disposal within this agenda, and two, the petition containing 51 signatures is addressed in... the petition containing 51 signatures be received and matters raised considered as part of item 17.1, properties for disposal within this agenda.
Looking for a seconder?
I'll second.
Second by Councillor Grace. Just wait for it to appear on screen. So it's just the first one you're moving, isn't it? Oh, you mean both, okay?
Yep. One and two.
All right. And seconded by Councillor Grace. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? No. Very good. You can't be a very good contrarian if you're not going to know the word no. Come on. Okay, all those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Grace, Street, Bastone, Reet, Westwood, Wass and Winter. And those against is Councillor Fox, Cordova and Mitchelly. Motion is carried. So we move to... the next item being properties for disposal, which is on page 40, and there's a recommended motion on page 45. Would anyone like to move the motion that was recommended? I suspected not. I did throw around, I've got a few people, spoken to a few people about another motion.
Yeah.
You want to move that, Councillor Grace?
Yeah, I'll move a motion that that we withdraw. If tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Hang on a second. It's going to go up on the screen here. This is the one that I spoke to probably most of you about earlier.
A procedural motion?
No, the motion to start dealing with this. We're looking at someone.
Can I do my procedural motion to defer?
Yeah, let's do that first then.
Thanks.
Well, it did take Councillor Grace though. Yeah, I have to take Councillor Grace because it started.
No, Mayor, you've got to take the procedural motion with precedence.
All right. I
would like to.
After what? A rule on. Oh yes. Okay. What did you want to move? Sorry.
My procedural motion is to defer debate on item 17.1, properties for disposal, until after the two petitions relating to the item are received and responded to. In fact, change that. My motion is to defer debate on item 17.1, properties for disposal, until there's people being able to listen to what we're saying live.
Yeah, I don't think I can take that because we earlier moved a motion that we would consider the petition tonight in this item, 17.
Forget the petition. My motion is that we defer this item until people can listen to it live.
Right, okay.
I'll second.
It may be deferred. That item 17.1 be deferred. Anyone want to second the motion? Councillor Fox. Okay, it's a procedural motion, so there's no debate. The motion, as moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Fox, is that that item 17.1 be deferred. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
No.
I have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Reet, Fox, Cordova and Midgley. Those against is Councillor Grace, Street, Bastone, Westwood, Wass and Winter. The motion is lost. Therefore, Councillor Grace, you wanted to move a motion.
Well, the motion will be, Mayor, that we delete Alona, the parcel land at Alona, and the one at Germana Road.
There's one up on the screen. This might be helpful. I don't know if you can read that.
Council.
In fact, I've got a hard copy.
Okay, well, Council. So I read this out then, Council.
Oh, you don't need to read it all out if you don't want to. You just need to be clear that you want to move.
I just would like the two parcels of land removed, and then can we put debate the remaining?
Yes, that you're moving a motion that would announce that would proceed to sale of four properties, but not those two. At Margate and Bruny Island. Are you happy to move that?
Yes, I'm happy to move that.
Need a seconder for the motion. Councillor Reid. Councillor Grace.
Look, I think it's important that these two be removed as to the amount of public output that we've had in the last week. I must admit I've had somewhere around about 320 maybe emails. I have had some on the other lands, but we'll get to those as we come. Nowhere near significantly like these two parcels of land there.
And all of a sudden it just went around the room.
Okay. Right, so you've finished your contribution, Councillor Grace. So I think it went Councillor Reet, Fox and then Cordova.
No, Gideon actually was first.
Councillor Cordova, then the other way.
It went the other way.
Councillor Cordova, Fox, then Reet. Councillor Cordova.
Thanks very much. I'd like to move an amendment to strike 41 Hearn Road from this recommendation. 41 Hearn Road, Blackmans Bay.
Okay, so Councillor Cordova is moving an amendment to remove 41 Hearn Road. Does anyone want to second that motion?
I would.
Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova, so specifically on the amendment to remove Hearn Road.
Thanks very much, and I think I'll make it very clear at this juncture that my intention is to do this same amendment for all of them, because I believe fundamentally it's really important that we assess these piece by piece, and the reason for that is we've received so many individual submissions about each one of the properties, so now I turn our attention to 41 Hearn Road. We've had a significant amount of community interest in this particular piece, and you can refer to that in your report. But also it's really important to recognise fundamentally what we're talking about here is a piece of public open space that the community thinks is very important. Now, it is recognised that there's a 4-metre easement, the creation of a 4-metre easement, but there's also, on the other side of that, people quite rightly say that they don't want to lose that piece of land to private development, and we need to listen to that. The intention was always that this land was public open space, and I think it speaks, it's overwhelmingly unpopular, so there's that democratic element, but also I think in addition to the overwhelming unpopularity of this particular proposal, to me the broader point here is about process, that the 21-day period was not sufficient, but also the thing that I most object to with this process of land sales is that it feels like council is working against the community rather than with the community, because it feels a bit to me like every few years council can just come along and decide to sell some of your community public open space or council-owned property, and then the community members have to fight to defend it. And if you're not quick enough or organised enough within that 21 days to get your submission in, then you miss out and your local green space gets sold off. So if you're busy at work during that 3 weeks, if you're busy with kids, or if you don't check the newspaper on the or the council Facebook page every few weeks, then there's a chance that you'll wake up one morning and the council will have privatised your local space. And that's not the right way about going about neighbourhood improvement. Because, in fact, we do know that we want to improve the critical need play spaces. We do know that. So what we need to do is consult with the community and say, let's work with you. We want to improve this local open space. The way we can do it is you might have to wait 5, 10 or 15 years if you can't, you know, until the revenues from rates are sufficient. Or maybe there's grants that we can try and get together, or maybe there's community fundraising we can try and do, or maybe we're going to have to sell some local space that's currently in the council portfolio. That is the way of engendering community support for an idea. Rather than putting the cart before the horse and saying, our intention is to sell, you've got 21 days to fight for it and show us how much you like it. And if you don't show us how much you like it in those 21 days, it's going on the chopping block. So to me, that's like the Hunger Games approach to town planning. Council advertises its intention to sell, and then you've got 3 weeks to prove to council just how much you want to keep it. And if you don't fight hard enough, then your local block goes. Now, it reminds me of something my big brother would do, where he'd get hold of your Nintendo 64 or your Game Boy and say, OK, you've got 21 days to prove to me that you really want to keep it, otherwise I'm going to sell it. And even if he said, yes, I'm going to buy, you know, better equipment with that, it's just not the right way of going about bringing people on side. If you snatch their stuff and then say, you've got 21 days to prove to me that you want to keep it, otherwise it goes. So in the case of 41 Herne Road, we know that the community doesn't want to sell it. I've received no correspondence saying that people do want to get rid of this particular piece of land. I've spoken to no one individually that said they want to get rid of it. I think we should keep it, and that's why I've moved this amendment.
Okay. I think Councillor Reet, then Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. It's going to be a very interesting night if that's how we're starting to set the tone for these debates, and we're going to go through each of these lots one by one, because that was a highly spirited contribution, but one which did blow things out of proportion, I have to say. To make claims that if you go to sleep you could wake up the next day or 3 weeks later and find that council is selling the green space near your house is bordering on ridiculous and blatantly untrue. We have gone through a 3-week community engagement process that has involved sending out numerous media releases, having stuff available on our website, having public notices. It's all articulated in this report. But let's not let the facts get in the way of a good contribution. Because what I find really amusing is to say that there has been considerable support and interest in retaining 41 Herne Road. Let's just have a look at the considerable support and interest. There were 4 submissions. 4. 2 of the 4 said they support the proposal provided that access is maintained. So 2 of the 4, now I'm just doing statistics at uni at the moment, so that's 50%, I'm pretty sure. 50% said they're happy to sell it. 50% of all the submissions received on 41 Herne Road said they are happy to sell it, provided that there is a walkway connecting that area. And that is what we are proposing to do with that. This is a residential block of land that has been sitting there for a very long period of time doing nothing, tying up resources of council and having no strategic value for the community. There is plenty of access, and we've seen the maps, there is plenty of access to that green area around that Opal Drive area without needing to walk through this block. In fact, most residents, and I have a friend who lives opposite this block, didn't even know that she could walk through it, because it's most commonly thought of that it is a private residential block, so people don't even use it at the moment. But what they will be able to do in the future, once it is sold, there will be a right-of-way put across it, and then they will know that they can actually use that as an access way. And at the same time, we'll then have the benefit of the funds being put towards upgrading some of the playgrounds that desperately need it in the area. So this is a win-win situation, and I really hope that we're not going to spend a considerable amount of time on every single one of these with claims that are simply not true, because it would be a great disservice to people around this table.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. Yes, I note that we did receive 4 submissions. 2 had no objections, providing there was a walkway connecting the Opal Drive Reserve. One of the submissions was on behalf of 3 neighbouring residents, so let's say there were 6 submissions received. That is not a representation of the community, and it does not mean that the sale of the land is overwhelmingly unpopular. I guess part of the role of I see as a councillor is taking a bigger picture view and representing all of the Kingborough community, not just the community that live in a particular street. I think it is a very sensible decision to sell the block of land, provide a walkway for the residents in that area to get through to the space behind it, and I support the sale of 41 Herne Road.
Councillor Street. Oh, Councillor Fox, then Councillor Street.
Thank you. I heard the statement that the easement would be 4 metres wide, but at the workshop, or was it the planning meeting, or the meeting we held, I asked how wide the easement would be, that I would like to have a really wide easement, but I didn't actually get the figure of 4 metres. I'm just wondering if Mr. Smee could confirm it would be a 4 metre wide easement.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, yes, that would be the required distance.
Thank you. I'm also interested in the comment by Councillor Reid to say that the person living opposite this block of land didn't realise that it was public land. And to me, that says it all, because people don't realise. They move into the area, they've got children, they want to use the footpath and the road, and they would like to use this access into the bigger reserve. It's a very nice green space, but it's slightly sloping. The council hasn't put a footpath there, and they haven't put a sign to say that it actually is public open space, but that it is access to the public open space on the other side. People don't realise that. And I do think the land has not been developed and has not been sold, because there's been a long-term vision here that the area would grow, and it has grown enormously in the time I've been on council. That whole valley, that whole amphitheatre of houses has got access to this corridor that takes them between 2 schools. And I think it should be kept as council, as public land, and it should be developed with a footpath and maybe even a place where people can sit and have a chat, maybe a few benches. But people don't always want land to be developed as a playground. They might just want to sit there and talk to each other. There is a whole generation of people who is not being considered when it comes to playgrounds, and that's the older people, and the parents with children who are in a pram. And I think it's important that we have linkages like this, which are green spaces, which are not in someone's backyard, and they're not in a playground. And I think it's very important that we don't sell a lot of these blocks, and I would like to continue the discussion on others as well, but this one particularly stands out to me as a real loss to the community. You can't buy land like this anymore in a highly developed residential area, and I don't think it's appropriate for council to be selling it. Thank you.
Councillor Street, and then Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Like others, I'm happy to discuss each of these properties one by one if that's the will of the meeting. What I don't want to see continue, though, is the use of what are plainly logical fallacies to argue against the selling of some of these blocks. And I find it interesting that there's been such a quick resort to the slippery slope argument, especially that because we're considering these, we're going to edge in and take more green space, when that's plainly not the case. It surprises me that that's coming from people who I would assume to describe themselves as progressive thinkers as well, that they would go straight for the slippery slope fallacy too. Incredibly disappointing. You know, there's no suggestion that we are looking any further than what we are tonight. And the reality is that we would never sell off land that is zoned as public open space, or I wouldn't vote to sell off land that is zoned as public open space. The motion before us to amend this motion to remove this parcel of land, I won't support either. And the reasons for that are pretty clear to me, and that is that the access to the substantial part of the property, which is indeed zoned public open space, is going to be maintained. That portion of land is 7 or 8 times larger than the portion of land that we are looking to sell, and will be maintained so long as the zoning is maintained, and I can see no reason why it would not be maintained, and I would certainly always support it being maintained. Selling block is going to allow us to do a lot of other things in public open space as well, and that area will still be available as public open space for the residents of Blackmans Bay and Kingston to use. I can see no reason why we wouldn't keep 41 Herne Road in the motion as it stands.
Councillor Widgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a couple of questions. I'm wondering, does the 4-metre width pathway proposed include the fencing, or would it need to be wider if there was a fencing on either side of that pathway?
Mr. Smee.
4 metre would include fencing. I mean, a fence is not particularly wide, so I don't see any reason why we'd need to make it bigger.
Thank you. And having some conversation with residents in regards to a pathway versus street frontage for the fantastic reserve that does actually sit behind this piece of land, I'm just wondering any thoughts in regards to that. So we're choosing a narrow sort of a pathway versus a street frontage into the reserve behind there.
I don't mind. Who wants to take this? Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mayor, we have many examples throughout Kingston and Blackmans Bay of pathways providing linkages. They've been signed as part of our local links project. I would envisage that this would become part of the local links that the community is well used to using, and I don't see any detriment. I mean, I think that having a designated access pathway is arguably a more obvious linkage than what we have at the moment, as Councillor Reet pointed out.
Thank you. And I have just a thought. I'm not quite sure really how to articulate it, but it's in regards to the rights that council would have over the access and then the title of the property. I'm sure that we've thought all about how that will all work, but I'm just wondering if there's any further explanation or thoughts in regards to the rights of the access and the title of the property and how that will all be worked out.
Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mayor, the easement would give the public a permanent right of access over that pathway.
There are no other licence. I might get Councillor Cordova to sum up the amendment, and
thanks,
then we'll vote on it and we'll move on.
Yep, thanks, Mayor. A question before we do that. Potential use as a community garden or retained as green space, was there any investigation either in the interim, the 21 days since we've received that, or before, for a community garden to be at 41 Herne Road?
Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mayor. That's something that we did consider. We are aware that there's a proposal to develop a community garden in Blackmans Bay, and Mr. Donnelly did discuss those high-level discussions that have already been held with the Blackmans Bay Progress Association. There's a community grant that's come in for a community garden behind the Salvation Army, and that report will be coming to council next meeting. So whilst it was given consideration, it's not considered to be an optimum location for such a venture, and given other locations within Blackmans Bay, it was dismissed as a potential future option.
Thanks very much. So to sum up this interlude, I would say that we heard me start by saying that the process for this is kind of putting the cart before the horse, because we initially, when this went to public consultation, nobody knew the play spaces that would get improved in return for the areas of open space that were lost. And then we also heard from Councillor Reid and Councillor Street about the tenor and the tone of the debate, and kind of concern trolling about how we shouldn't go through one by one in a kind of negative way. To which I would say I'm very willing to reset the tone and tenor of the debate, but I make no apologies for representing the people who have written to me and called me up and sent text messages saying, councillors, please don't sell off, don't privatise, and don't sell off to private development our open space. And we can use nuanced semantic language about what counts as public open space as opposed to green space, as opposed to nature, as opposed to a reserve. We can do that till the cows come home, but I make no apologies for representing the people who contacted me in good faith and said, I want you to defend this land. This land belongs to all of us. It's community-owned land that is held by the council in trust for all of us for generations to come. So I am willing to reset the tone and tenor, but I make no apologies for defending the interests of the community.
Okay, so the amendment was put by Councillor Cordover and seconded by Councillor Fox, and it's that 41 Hearn Road be removed from the list of properties for sale. To the motion, all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
Aye.
We'll have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillors Fox and Cordover. Those against is Councillors Grace, Street, Bastone, Reid, Westwood, Midgley, Wass and Winter. The amendment is lost. So still have Councillor Cordover. We're up to you on your substantive, but I assume you want to move an amendment.
Thanks very much. I'd like to move an amendment to strike 281 Roslyn Avenue.
Instead of doing, I just realised that after we did, could you just put the number 0.4 from the motion or something like that? It goes up a little bit.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm just working my way backwards up the list.
Sorry, well, can you scroll up a little bit, Mr. Smee? Do you want to just do item 3? Because if you're scrubbing that, you're also scrubbing the Alamo Close investment as well. Point, yeah, so just wanted to say the amendment to remove point 3.
The amendment is to remove point 3.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. And seconded by Councillor Fox, Councillor Cordo.
Thank you, Mayor. As we can all see in the report, there are a number of submissions against, and I think at this juncture I'll just highlight that the trees on the property should be protected was written in one submission, and the answer to which we received is from the council is that the trees are not of significant conservation value. And I think that speaks in general terms to the kind of issues that we're talking about here. Knowing the price of everything and the value of nothing, a tree doesn't necessarily need to contain the very last swift parrot to be important to a neighbourhood in an already highly developed urbanised environment. Public open space or green space or indeed a car park is sometimes really important to people. To me, Mayor, this experience has been an abject lesson in how not to improve play spaces by process. The process has created tension that didn't need to be created. It's created division that didn't need to be created. It's not been positive or inclusive. And if we just look at the submissions we received from the Bruni community, of course, that's not up for debate, but the point is that that Bruni community is... I'm directly on point to 281.
You're actually talking specific. Your amendment is specifically to 281 Roslyn Avenue, and so your discussion to the amendment should be specifically in relation to what you're amending. If you want to speak about Bruni, you're welcome to in your substantive,
okay,
but you're only on the amendment at this point.
Okay. So, I have a question about the trees on the property and to what extent has there been any kind of environmental assessment? I recognise that they're not of significant conservation value, but what did the process look like for checking out those trees?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, they are referred to staff from our Environmental Services Department, and that is their professional advice.
Thanks very much. My next question is that on page 20 of the playground strategy at 5.2 in the guiding principles, it says, this is item 9, where there is an oversupply of playgrounds within a given area, council will develop a playground action plan and undertake relevant assessments in order to rationalise the number of playgrounds in favour of quality over quantity. Appropriate community engagement should be undertaken when developing that action plan. My question is there an oversupply of playgrounds within the given area of 281 Roslyn Avenue?
This might be one for Mr. Donnelly, is it? Mr. Donnelly.
Thank you, Matt. My determination is there is no oversupply of play space assets in this locality. That means the play space assets that we have existing have value and are considered to be valuable and serviceable to the community.
Thanks very much. My next question is, is this particular, the play space, I'm assuming that the play space to which this relates, the idea is to sell this particular land in order to upgrade the Alamo?
Yep.
So out of the 18 play spaces, how would you rank Alamo in terms of necessity? Or maybe a clearer way of saying that is, what does the 40% representative score, to what does that refer with regard to Alamo Close Park?
Mr. Donnelly.
Thank you, Matt. Through you, Matt. The 40% representative score illustrates that, or means that, Alamo Close currently meets 40% of the criteria set out in the play space and playground strategy. So that means, in other words, it does not meet 60% of the criteria outlined within the strategy.
So
just before you go on, yep. Just for the audio recording, Councillor Grace left the room at 6:53pm and returned at 6:56pm. Councillor Cordova.
Thanks, Mayor. And thank you for that answer. The Snug Hall Playground, for example, has a representative score of 28%. So can you compare the two? Which is in more urgent need of fixing up based on those two scores?
Mr. Donnelly.
Thank you, Matt. Through you, Matt. We would need to take into consideration other play space assets in the location. So in relation to Snug, we have the Ashton Dennehy Memorial Playground, recently refurbished and installed and available in Snug, directly opposite and co-located. In terms of Blackmans Bay, there is no other play space asset within walking distance of Alamo Close, so within the 5-minute walking catchment. There is, however, Sherbert Oval adjacent, so this facility is co-located with other recreational assets. However, there are no other play-space assets within close proximity of Alamo Close. Given that, my determination would be that Alamo Close would rank higher than Snug Hall.
Okay, thanks very much. That actually really does clear things up. And my final question on this point then is, was the Alamo Close play space chosen in this particular circumstance, was it chosen to be upgraded because of its proximity to the proposed land sale at Roslyn Avenue, or was it chosen based on need?
Mr. Donnelly.
Both.
Okay. Thanks very much. And so I will conclude my remarks about this amendment by saying that my point is that we are presented with a fabulous opportunity to work with the community, including local sports clubs who have already highlighted particular needs, to work with particular neighbours and community members who have already said this is an urban built-up environment that needs this space. We could work with them on something really positive and inclusive, but instead we're flagging that we're going to sell it. I don't think we should do that. I think we should put the horse before the cart and work with the community, save this space and do something great with it.
Councillor Fox, sorry. I think it's because you're wearing a red jacket. Maybe I'm missing the red, but Councillor Fox and then Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. I've had discussions with members of the cricket club on this, and they've pointed out a few interesting things which I'd forgotten about, actually, but there is a sound mound which was built along the Roslyn Avenue side of this piece of land. And that was specifically because neighbours across the road on Roslyn Avenue were finding the noise from the car park quite difficult to deal with. And I think a lot of the trees in that area were actually planted by council to provide some sort of visual as well as sound barrier to the residents adjacent on the other side of the road. When you look, I drove past there today, and the property is covered with mounds of council depot, or it's like a council depot. There's mounds of earth. There's a great big excavator equipment there. There's often trucks parked there, and there's bits of concrete, which you can see in the photographs of the actual reserve. Bits of, I don't know what they're for. They're probably for the works that have been done on Brightwater Road. But it is always being used by either council or a developer, because there aren't any other places in that area around Blackmans Bay where you could actually put stuff when you're doing works. And the actual car park is described as being adequate, but there are times when there have the cricket club, for example, or even the soccer club, they've got matches that start early in the morning and finish late at night. The place is absolutely chockers with cars, and they're parking all up and down Brightwater Road and along Roslyn Avenue. So to say that the parking is adequate must have been observed on a day when there was nothing happening, or between when the cricket started and the soccer finished. I don't think it is an adequate car park, and the foresight of Mr. Sherbird when he gave us that land was that it provide for future car parking. I think I've covered most of the issues, but I am concerned that it is providing a buffer to residents, and it's also providing future car parking. And where are we going to buy land next to an oval that's becoming extremely busy and popular? Where are we going to find a safe place to park cars for visitors? And that's not even including the Illawarra school that's down the road, and when they've got a big function on, that is where people park, and buses park, and children and parents park during normal school days as well. And I just think it's a shame to be selling this piece of land. We won't be able to replace it, and I know the school are desperate for other places as well. I know there's a history there where they have sold their land, and I know that Councillor Reet was minister at the time and wasn't happy about it. But I still think the growing community in Blackmans Bay does deserve to have somewhere where they can park and where they can play sport and where they can walk to school. Thank you.
Councillor Westwood, then Councillor Mitchell.
Thank you, Mayor. This piece of land, I don't think, is needed for extra car parking. It is true that Illawarra Primary School parents use Sherbird Oval car park. The school, as far as I'm aware, isn't interested in using 281 Roslyn Avenue, although, and I note that it's zoned residential, there is some public open space immediately next door to Illawarra Primary, which is potentially what Councillor Fox is referring to, that I have had discussions with the school about potentially them using it. In terms of the oversupply of play spaces, from my memory, Alamo Place has either two or four swings. So in terms of servicing the children in that area, I definitely would say that's not adequate. And whilst it does connect to the oval, providing a nice patch of green open play space, it would be really nice to have some more play equipment at Alamo for the children who live in that area. Councillor Fox is right. The space at 281 Roslyn Avenue is used by council, as far as I'm aware, to dump earthworks. I have had a specific resident talk to me about the fact that she'll be pleased sell it, because she'd much rather live next door to a family than have to put up with council dumping stuff there in the very early hours of the morning. And I believe we have received quite a few complaints about that. So I don't think retaining it to dump earthworks or store earthworking equipment is in the best interest of the community. And I guess just back to the point in general is that we can't keep every piece of land in Kingborough. We have to make decisions about priorities and about resourcing and about getting the best bang for our buck. And this piece of land isn't used at the moment. It's sitting there, it's vacant, apart from providing a bit of a storage area for the depot. There's no need for council to keep this piece of land.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to start that there is no doubt that Alamo Playground needs some love. I remember going there when my children were under five and it was difficult to keep them entertained, and often they'd be on the oval or they'd be in the bush playing behind Sherbert Oval. And in fact, we still go there and they're going there to play soccer and things like that, and I find them in the bush reserve behind the Sherbert Oval. They just love playing there. But there is no doubt that Alamo definitely needs some love. Since my time on council, though, I have not had any residents or community members, perhaps I'm not talking to the right people, let me know what they'd like to see there or that it needs an upgrade and things like that as well. I have a couple of questions in regards to the trees. It is a shame that we will lose them. I'm quite sure they are blackwoods there, and just yesterday in my garden the black cockatoos were loving the blackwoods there. They are a local species and they are enjoyed, and I acknowledge council staff's more experience and knowledge around this and expertise than mine, but I still believe that they would be a significant shame to lose. And I'm wondering at all if this motion, if we cannot protect this block of land, can the trees be protected, or a subdivision boundary adjustment to protect them?
Mayor, I guess my advice would be that you'd need to rely on the protections that exist within the planning scheme, but given that these trees haven't been assessed as having high environmental value, I'm not sure that would be a protection. I mean, we can't put a condition on the sale protecting the trees, and as to trying to do a subdivision to enable the trees to be protected, you then run into minimum lot size issues that would then make the sale of the balance untenable, I'd suggest.
Thank you. Excuse me if I've missed this email. Wondering, what was the estimation land value for this 181?
So we're being provided that information on the basis that we don't provide it in public open session, because we want if we do sell any of these lots, then we don't want to compromise the outcome by outlining what our reserve price might be.
Thank you very much. I hadn't opened an email. I'm wondering, so what is the estimation then of the playground costs for Alamo? Or will that be determined in regards to community consultation? I guess an estimation around that. And really why I asked that other question was, will there be leftover? Do we have Hearn Road that perhaps would cover Alamo? Like, it seems to me quite a lot of money that perhaps we're looking at expending on Alamo. Or what is our... I'm interested in staff's comments in regards to what is his vision for this playground and what do they see that we need here? And do we need to spend 100, 50, 20 to get it up to kind of a bit more love, I guess?
Mr. Donnelly.
Thank you, Mayor. Through you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Midgley, for your question. In regards to Alamo Close, we would give consideration to the classification of that particular play space. It's classified as a local play space, so we would embellish it in line with the list of ingredients for local play spaces. However, having said that, play equipment is expensive. There would be a need to give consideration to the site topography, which in this case is
is sloping. So topography in relation to play spaces can be quite problematic. We need to retain land in order to create level soft fall zones compliant with relevant safety standards. So my estimation, without having undertaken any detailed assessment or prepared any concept master plan for Alamo Close, would be that we would need to invest upwards of $100,000 in this play space to bring it in line with our play space and playground strategy.
Thank you. So from my estimation of property prices in the area, I'd say there'd be a bit left over, and perhaps Hearn Road perhaps could cover Alamo and the other, was it Donoghue? Yeah, gardens, perhaps, as an estimation that I'm thinking. I actually will be voting that we keep this land. We've chatted around the table around park and ride possibility for Blackmans Bay. I know that staff don't think that that's a suitable location. I note as you go to Illawarra in the morning and the afternoon, and the safety matters around Roslyn Avenue and parking and all that sort of thing, it's quite massive, and there is potential for a number of safety issues. There is a small kind of movement in the school community to encourage people to park at Sherbert Oval to get that little bit of park and ride with the crossing there for safety matters. It's also would be great as we're moving forward, we've got a further report that identifies around encouraging people to get out of their cars and park and ride. I think that this Sherbert Oval, again, could provide more opportunity in the future for that as we grow in a municipality. We've already seen the growth in this area. I'm very supportive of playgrounds, but I do think from an estimation in my own thoughts that Hearn Road could actually cover Alamo and the other playground from the funds that we'd receive. I'm just trepidatious to let go of this piece of land for now, again, for the park and ride, for encouraging active transport, for encouraging people to get out of their car and catch a bus, for encouraging parents to park there and catch a bus. And also, if we look at Woodlands Drive, I don't know if anyone's caught a bus from there, there's no bus shelter. It's in a really not a great location, parked right outside residence, right before the roundabout. It's really not in a safe place. It'd be great to see, again, a park and ride, perhaps vision in the future for a bus shelter to be in there, for a turnaround and that sort of a thing. And it encourages more people to actually catch a bus, which is what our vision is for our community on the whole. So that's where I stand with this one.
Councillor Reid.
Just briefly on the question of park and ride facilities, I think we need to be really clear that the biggest stumbling block to park and ride facilities in Kingborough is Metro Tasmania, because it was actually council staff who suggested this block of land as park and ride, and the and Metro Tasmania ruled it out substantially. So let's not let's not kid ourselves that if we hang on to this, they will change our minds. It's frustrating, I know, but the problem that they have with it is the timetabling and the need then for buses to go straight from that spot down through the bypass and not stopping being express buses. They say they won't do that, and that's why they have favoured other more strategic locations than there. So I think we just need to be realistic about what we can achieve with Metro, because I've found them very frustrating when they come here, and state growth aren't much help either, and they seem to pass one from the other. So let's not kid ourselves that we're ever going to get a park and ride on this block. I support its sale. I believe that we can benefit more people in the community by investing this in much-needed playground infrastructure, so I'll be supporting the sale of it and not this amendment.
I have a question.
Yeah, good. Yep.
So the question I note, sorry, the report around the Kingston Place strategy, just getting the right terminology, basically it mentioned shuttle buses, that there'd be perhaps in the future shuttle bus as a proposal. Again, these are all proposals, and I still see the Metro thing as a, did we envision a park and ride at Huntingfield? There was mention somewhere, and I can't find it at the moment, but perhaps could that be rather than a Metro stop, perhaps in the future, again, we've got to dream big, we want people to get out of cars. Could it be a possible you know, I guess we don't want to, you know, could it be a, I'm putting into a question, could it be a possible shuttle bus, perhaps, location pickup?
Mr. Ferry, I'm going to go to you.
Thank you, Mayor. Shuttle buses have been mentioned on a number of occasions around the CBD and in regard to moving people who are employed in the CBD from other park and rides and things like that. I think we're a long, long way away from that. There's no reason why this particular parcel of land would be part of a shuttle bus network compared to any other parcel of land in the municipality. Look, as far as shuttle buses is concerned, I wouldn't say that they're not going to be used at some stage in the future of Kingborough. It's certainly cropped up in a number of transport-related reports as being a future option. It's not something which is going to happen in the foreseeable future because of the financial viability of something like that. I think they would only be used if really congestion and parking was catastrophic, and that they would act, or not, catastrophic is probably saying going too far, but if it was so bad that people would be prepared to pay for that sort of service. But I don't see the connection between shuttle buses and this particular parcel of land.
Sorry, Mayor, I actually found the bit in the report that says it. Can I read it out? Is that all right? It does relate to my question. It articulates it well.
You've got to ask a question, though. Okay. No, I don't think you're going to. I think you're going to pull the Councillor Grace move on.
Well, page 74, anyway, 2.5.3 mentions investigated shuttle
bus. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, it was a great try. Okay. We don't have any other lights on. So, Councillor Cordova, to sum up the amendment.
Thanks. A question first, please, Mayor. In the September 14th report, in terms of native trees present, it's 6 blackwoods and 2 large black peppermints. Not high conservation trees or habitat for threatened species, but potential hollow habitat as a mature tree. My question is, what does that sound like and what does that look like, a potential hollow habitat? Is it worth saving? Can somebody talk about the environmental natural values?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I can only go back to my previous advice, and that is we referred the potential sale of this block to our environmental services staff, and the advice they provided was that the environmental values on that block are not sufficient to preclude the sale of it. It has some environmental and some aesthetic values, the trees that are on it, but their professional advice is that they are not sufficient to preclude its sale.
Thanks very much. And just a question further to Councillor Midgley's. Can you please comment on the 2.5.3 of the Transform Kingston deliverables with respect to this piece of land? 2.5.3 says promote the use of public transport for travelling into Kingston throughout the Kingborough community, investigate a bus shuttle service from parking areas on the fringe of Kingston into the CBD. Can you please comment on that for us?
Can you please comment on it? Yeah, it's a question, I guess.
Yep. Through you, Mayor. The existing car park of the Sherbert Oval, if it was reorganised, could accommodate many more cars than it currently does and could provide a potential car park for a shuttle bus service that does not need this additional block as well.
Thank you, Mayor. To sum up on 281 Roslyn Avenue, my real concern here, and we've heard about the transport implications, we've heard about the environmental aspects, and we've heard about the fact that it's the built urban environment and local sports clubs don't want it, there's already parking issues there, we've heard all that. My concern is that we're dealing with this in a very zero-sum game, as in there's only two choices here, what the land is currently being used for and selling it to a private developer. So the case in point here is Councillor Westwood's contribution, which I thought was a good contribution, and the idea that there's loads of council backfill there right now. It's not what people want. They'd rather a private development there. They don't want a storage area for the depot, and therefore the implication is that's the only choice we've got. And in fact, what I want to inject into this entire conversation is that there is a future to these parcels of land in public hands. These parcels of land have a future if we can use our imagination and our capacity to engage the community in a meaningful way, to actually ask them what they want with community-owned assets. So not just to provide a foregone conclusion, you have a choice. We can keep dumping council backfill on the land, or you can sell it to a private developer. I'm saying there's a third option. And the third option is we ask the neighbours, the sports groups, the local community, what they want. And if they choose to keep it in council hands, which I'm indicating that they do based on the submissions we've received, then we should listen and meaningfully engage with them. We should listen and therefore keep the land. Thank you.
Okay, the amendment is from Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Fox, and it's that point three be removed. All those in favour of that amendment, please say aye. Those against, we'll have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Fox, Cordova and Midgley, and those against is Councillor Grace, Street, Bastone, Reet, Westwood, Wass and Winter. The amendment is lost, and now you would like to remove item two.
Thank you very much. The amendment is to remove item two. And I think I'll need a seconder.
Just wait for Mr. Smee to catch up. Ms. Morton will probably have to listen to this, will she? So, hello, Ms. Morton, when you listen. Oh, she won. Yep. Just waiting for this to get up. Seconded by Councillor. Item two, just to clarify, item two is the Mount Pleasant Road, Kingston. So we're seeking a seconder here. There are none.
Thanks.
Or debate. Okay. But we haven't had enough. Good. Councillor Cordova.
Well, we're getting to the pointy end of this, so I'll be quick. My first question is about, in the issues raised, there is an objection to this sale on the basis that it's currently used by local residents for horse riding and dog walking, and the response that we've received is that there's a dog exercise area in close proximity. You're not allowed to ride a horse in a dog area. So can somebody please comment on what our response is to the very real argument that it's currently being used for horse riding? What's the alternative that's proposed?
It's just me.
Through you, Mayor. The properties in Mount Pleasant Road, they're all 5-acre lots. Horse owners have ample space to ride their horses on their own property. We only received one submission to indicate that this is used for horse riding. There's certainly not been an overwhelming suggestion that there's large numbers of people wanting to use this particular property for that purpose. And as I mentioned earlier, the nature of the 5-acre lot means that residents do have that option to do that activity on their own properties.
Thanks very much for that answer. Mayor, my next question is about the, on September the 14th, the initial report we received says that the environmental assessment on this one says, quote, it's got a row of planted native trees, strategic potential location for revegetation activities due to location within wildlife corridor. Can I please hear some commentary around the significance of this wildlife corridor, and also has any investigation taken place into the strategic location for revegetation activities?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. Our environmental staff, when assessing this, noted that, yes, it's a potential location on which tree planting could occur. Having said that, there's the whole of the Kingborough Sports Precinct where tree plantings can occur and are occurring in relation to the area below the mountain bike park and indeed adjoining the mountain bike park. So they threw it up as a suggestion. They're looking to cover off on every particular potential environmental issue that may be relevant, but once again their conclusion was that the environmental values and potential of this block are not sufficient to preclude its sale.
Thank you. Mayor, the proposal as it stands seems like to counterbalance the sale of this property, Willow Bend Park in Kingston will get its critical upgrade. Firstly, is that a correct supposition?
That's what's in the motion.
Yep. Willow Bend is 3 kilometres. It's a 38-minute walk away, so it's a 5-kilometre drive away, so about 10 minutes. So they're not like for like. So the point that I'd like to raise in this contribution is that, again, we're assuming this false choice that we can either leave the land as it is, but nobody's talked to me about whether or not we could do something really exciting with revegetation, whether it could be a sculpture park or a community garden or agriculture, you know, an urban farm. Or there's a million things that it could be that it isn't, and that we will never know what potential it has because the intention is to sell it. But the point that I wanted to make here is that we are intending to sell Mount Pleasant Road property, and in return, 38 minutes walk away, there'll be a playground that will get improved. Now, when I was younger, my parents, to have some respite, would send me down to the local park. And the advantage of that was that there were, and I could see the general manager smiling, the advantage of that was that there was a park close by where you could just walk to it. You could hop on your bike and walk. You didn't have to grab your backpack and hop in the car and drive to Central Kingston or Blackmans Bay foreshore or Kingston Beach. It's very good for the parents who live there, where we know property prices are higher. My concern is the engendered inequality of constantly consolidating, selling off public open space, green spaces, constantly selling them, rationalising the total number of lots. And what that will mean is that at the end of the day, you will have fewer public spaces available, and as a result, people will have to hop in their car to get to public open space. Now, in this case, I am fully cognizant that the sports centre is right there. The sports centre is not strategic for revegetation. It is not a strategic place for an observatory or a picnic area. It's not a strategic place for a sculpture park or any of the myriad options that were never investigated because the intention is to sell this to a private developer.
Councillor Reet?
No, Councillor Westwood.
No, she took her delight off. So it's you.
I can't help it. I need to say again, this is not public open space. It has never been classified as public open space. This land that we're talking about at the moment is was purchased for the purpose of water infrastructure, and that's now being transferred to Taz Water. I can't envisage this particular block of land being used for people to go and have a picnic on or anything like that. However, if you go to the Willow Bend Park, and it is the closest park to where I live, and when I moved into that area 11 years ago, we would walk there regularly. It is a sad excuse for a park. The area has a high concentration of young families, and it really would benefit from an upgrade, which has now been proposed. So I weigh those two things up and go, some leftover Taz Water infrastructure land that nobody is really ever using versus a neglected, sad, tragic park in Willow Bend that would benefit many, many families from the area. There's a large catchment area. Then I think it's a no-brainer. I don't support the amendment.
Councillor Grace.
Just quickly, Councillor Reed's right. It was purchased, and I remember, because I was the water and sewer supervisor for this council, believe it or not, there was 3 reservoirs proposed up there at one stage, and because of the growth of Kingborough and the isolation of areas and the different heights, and as I understand what was reported to us, Taz Water don't want it anymore. They didn't choose to purchase it when they took over the water, and as I believe, I think Mr. Ferrier said one time that Taz Water are not interested in that block of land. Is that correct? Yeah. Maybe we should just check with Taz Water, but...
No, we have.
We have. Okay, I'm happy for the sale.
Okay. To sum up, Councillor Cordova.
Thanks very much. I've summed up this one.
Good, thank you. Okay, so the motion is that item 2 be removed. It was moved by Councillor Keldover and seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
Aye.
We'll have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Grace, I don't... you nearly got another
got
one.
It. Didn't I?
All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Fox and Councillor Keldover. Those against? Councillor Grace, Street, Bastone, Reet, Westwood, Mitchley, Wasson, Winter, the amendment is lost. And so we now move on to, I reckon you want to move item one?
Item one. The amendment is to strike item one, please.
Sure. Just item one be removed. Is that okay? Same as before, but item one be removed.
Taruna.
Yep. Anyone want to second this? This is the Taruna location. It's about to be lost, but we can. Councillor Gordo can also always speak about it in the substantive, so that it's having, for want of a seconder, we won't go ahead with that amendment. But you are next on the list for the substantive. Councillor Gordo, would you like to kick us off?
Thank you, Mayor. This experience for me has been a lesson in how not to improve play spaces, because we didn't bring the community alongside. We presented the community with a foregone conclusion, and no matter how many submissions we received against, because the various groups were not, highly organised enough, like Gamala Road in Margate and like Bruni, we didn't listen to their concerns. Now, I'd like to examine the theory behind these sales. Council sells six properties to maintain and fix up six existing playgrounds. How sustainable is that method of financing if every time we need to fix up the critical needs playgrounds that we have to sell off council's assets that are in our property portfolio? At what point will we end up with 5 or 10 very fancy, well-resourced, expensive playgrounds and no more local green space and no more local neighbourhood park that you can walk to? On page 20 of the playground strategy, it says that where there is an oversupply of playgrounds within a given area, council will develop a playground action plan and it will rationalise the number of playgrounds in favour of quality over quantity. I think we need to talk about that quality over quantity principle, because when the end goal here, for me, is to maximise the amount of public open space in accordance with our open space strategy. It is to maximise those places, like I gave the example, that my parents were able to send me to without having to pack up the car and a picnic blanket and drive to the richer parts of town, Kingston Beach, Blackburns Bay, you know, wherever it might be. By consolidating the number of areas that we have, we are limiting the convenience and accessibility of play spaces. And that's at the heart of it, my concern, is that quality over quantity, rationalisation and consolidation results in fewer open spaces. And this, tonight, is an example of how we're selling six in order to repair the six that we already have. Now, I'm saying that there were choices here, that we could have chosen to keep these six and in return have a community conversation, or in this case, four, thanks to those amendments, and have a community conversation about what the people want. And the case in point here is the Bruni Island community, who, because they are so cohesive, united, organised, because they were able to come together, they provided us with an array of wonderful, positive, uplifting suggestions about what they want to do with their land. And we never afforded that opportunity to the people of Blackburns Bay, to the people of Kingston and to the people of Taruna. We never afforded them that opportunity to work with us in collaboration, in a spirit of generosity and goodwill, with councillors to develop their community spaces in accordance with their wishes. Instead, we presented them with a foregone conclusion and we backed that up. And if you didn't have 21 days to spare to work on your submission, then you missed out. I think that is putting the cart before the horse. We should be asking the community what they want with their open spaces and then working with them to achieve their goals. So I hope my point is taken about the risk of exacerbating inequality. And I hope my point is also taken about the way that we should do it next time is to ask the community carefully what they want and to say, here is an example of a few play spaces that we could improve. Let's work together to improve those play spaces. Maybe it will mean selling community-owned assets, but maybe there'll be alternative methods of financing which are available to us. We never explored those alternative methods, and that's why I think that this process has been unfortunate, and I think 21 days was not enough. And I think that the mobilisation of the community didn't happen to the same extent, not necessarily for want of a different outcome, but simply that the Margate community and the Bruni community were able to mobilise faster and more effectively to lobby their councillors. But it shouldn't be that way. We should be working with the community and not against them. And every few years, we shouldn't just go to the community and say, look, your local area is up for the chopping block unless you can prove within 3 weeks that we're going to, that you want it enough to keep it. That's not the right way of going about it. My final point, I'm trying to maintain a good tone, and I'm also not apologizing.
It's not
no,
working.
Order.
And I also, despite the derision and despite the scorn and the trying to mock and undermine and diminish the very genuine submissions and phone calls that we received and the people who were genuinely concerned about the community, rather than some of the councillors around this chamber who are trying to diminish those concerns, I make no apologies for representing my community, Councillor Streak, through you, Mayor. I make no apologies for representing the best interests of the people who contacted me with very specific requests about these pieces of green space. I make no apologies for trying to defend their best interests. And that's why I'm voting against this motion tonight, and I encourage you all to do the same.
Okay, next I have Councillor Bastone and Councillor Westwood.
I'd like to ask a question because I'm not sure if I can actually speak to it at the moment, and that is the two properties that we've withdrawn.
Yeah, no, they're in the report, so you're welcome to speak.
So I can speak
Bruny Island or Margate. Yeah.
Thank you. I'd like to speak first about the Bruny Island, the original proposed sale of the area at Alona. And this area has already once before been put up for proposed to be sold in the early 2000s, so about 20 years ago, and nothing was done. So although we withdrew it from sale, it was obviously before my time on council, but nothing has been done with the land. It's just sat idle. And I think some of the proposals that we have had in from the community, of which I have run a large number of them and talked to them, have merit. And I think that part of what we need to do is to put these people who wish to turn it into a park or into a sculpture ground or these various ideas, put them on notice for 12 months, that they have 12 months to show their good intentions and to start work on this. They say that they have a number of people who are willing to work on it. Most of the people that have rung me are quite elderly, and we know that this is a problem with people working on it, particularly with things like the Adventure Bay, Friends of Adventure Bay, and all the other areas on Bruny. People are finding it harder and harder to do physical work. So my proposal is that we put a moratorium on the sale of this land for 12 months and then wait for different groups. We could advertise on the Bruny Island Facebook page, if we were allowed, of course, to access it, which most of us aren't, to suggest that they put proposals to us about what they actually want to do with the land. Perhaps we could look at the land care groups as well, but I think we don't just not sell it. I think we have to actually do something to charge the people that are there. So that's my...
Would you like to propose an amendment then, a C perhaps?
Can I actually do that?
Yeah, there's been four amendments proposed so far, so you...
Okay. I would like to propose an amendment that the land at Alona... that we have a moratorium on the land at Alona for 12 months, and if no community groups take over the land and substantial work is done, that we revisit the sale of the land.
Mr. Smee is going to do his best here. Let's see what the words are.
Yeah,
I don't think it needs
space.
It as a park, developing it within 12 months. Is that what you're looking for? In 12 months?
As a public space within 12 months.
Okay. Happy with what's on the screen, Councillor Bustone?
Yes, I'm happy with that.
Would anyone like to second the amendment?
Can I ask a question?
Just got to deal with this and then you can certainly ask a question. But does anyone like to second it? Councillor Wass? Okay, Councillor Bastone, and then I'll go to your question straight after that, Councillor Grace. Councillor Bastone, would you like to speak to the amendment?
Well, I don't really think I need to, in so much as I've already said why I think that we don't want to just leave it as it is. I think we need to have something done with the land, and you know they've come up with some excellent suggestions, so let's see what they can do with it.
Okay,
thank you.
Councillor Grace with a question, yeah, or a contribution, if you like.
The question is, I think I'll accept that, but it needs also to add that we need our Mr. Donovan behind us, our planner bloke, to work with the community too, as part of that, so that the community are also getting assistance from the council.
Yeah, Mr. Smee, were you happy to work with the community around this plan, Mr. Smee?
Mayor, I guess my response to that is that Mr. Donnelly has a hell of a lot on his plate, and we have prioritised what that workload is, and this particular property is not part of that workload. So to suddenly add it to it and expect that there's going to be a master plan developed would be hijacking what his work plan is for the next 12 months.
I don't think we need Mr. Dominey to do the master plan as such, but just overlook and give him some advice. One trip, maybe two trips down to Bruny Island, that's all we're asking, while he's already down there looking at other things. That's not too much to ask. What are we paying rates and taxes for these people for?
All right, Councillor Street and then Councillor Wass. Sorry, Councillor Grace. I think the answer from Mr. Smee was that it's not a strategic priority. I don't even want to put words in his mouth. At best endeavours, the General Manager just said, if we can help, we will. Councillor Street, then Councillor Wass.
Mayor, I just want to be brief on this and simply say that I think it's easy to pretend that the only stakeholders in matters like this are the people who email us. And I think it's easy to make decisions that are going to make council popular with the people who are most vocal. What is hard is making decisions strategically and making a considered decision about the relative worth of an asset and making a decision that's in the best interest of the community as a whole. In voting for this motion, that is what I am doing. And I want to put on record that I stand with the families of Kingston, Blackmans Bay and Taruna who are crying out for better play spaces. And for the most part, that's a silent majority who have neither the time nor the inclination to contact us. And I cannot blame them. They simply expect us to get on with the job, make decisions that are in their interests and fix the problems that are important to them. And I know full well that this is one of them. So I'll be voting for the motion and I'll be very pleased to see the results of it.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Obviously, Part C is what I want to talk about. I think for the first time in, well, certainly this century and possibly even last century, that the Bruny Island community have got their act together and they actually want to do something, and they're positive and they are generally on the same wavelength, which has not been the case years gone by. Certainly this came up, I think, 13 or 17 years ago, and the community let it die. They weren't interested in looking at it going forward. And certainly from that point of view, with the discussions that I've had with a number of residents, suggested to them, which they agreed, that they needed a plan going forward and they need specific timeframes as to what they can do and what they will achieve by such and such a date, so that we could look at it. In addition to that, they've come back and said, we're prepared to do this without any costing from council whatsoever, if we're given the opportunity. And on that basis, because they've made every endeavour to want to do something, I think it's important that we allow them to do that. At the same time, we need to put a time frame on it, because, as was indicated, I think, by Councillor Bastone, that if a number of people in that group either leave the area, become disillusioned, or simply because of their age just unfortunately can't do any of the work, and it goes back to the situation is now, council doesn't want to find itself into the situation where it's got to start again. And I think that's a good reason that we put this, if you like, part in part C, so that we can follow up, and most importantly the community know that and we'll go through it. But certainly on the numbers that they've got and the numbers that they want to do and the work that they want to do, they have got it. They don't need our assistance on that, and I'm sure they will pass it by council as they go ahead, and certainly they can provide that to us on a 6-monthly, a half yearly, or even a yearly basis of the work that they're going to undertake, by when, and at the 12-month mark, the work that they have undertaken and what's going to happen in the coming 12 months. So I support item C.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. A question. What does substantial progress in this context mean? Specifically, could it be a park bench? What is substantial progress?
Well, elected members will get to make that decision, and obviously it's a subjective decision. It's not a planning matter, so it's not, you know, the a substantive commencement like we'd receive in a development application. But I mean, I think we as elected members can sit around and see whether this is going anywhere in 12 months' time. And I think that's what the amendment does, is suggest that we would, elected members would assess in 12 months' time whether progress has been made to develop a community asset.
Thank you, Mayor. Another question, and this one is about the time frame. I have significant concerns about that time frame. The board is open today. My question is, Kingston Park, which had staff, funding, a plan already, it was delayed by COVID. Nobody predicted it. Nobody saw it coming. Borders have opened today. What should happen if somebody else gets sick and it delays time? Would we still wrench this land out of the hands of the people? I hope that we would be more... So my question is, how long was Park delayed as a result of the unforeseen COVID issue?
Well, Kingston Park's been delayed. Was due in November this year, and it's been delayed until February, March. So there was a delay. But again, the motion allows councillors, using their combined reasoning skills, to decide whether or not a reasonable amount of work has been made and whether they're going to be able to deliver what they're talking about. And if in 12 months' time, you know, if the borders have been shut or it's been impossible for them to be, of course we'll reassess it. We're reasonable people. We'll make a reasonable decision, I'm sure of it.
Thank you, Mayor. In the spirit of good reason, then, I seek that the mover and seconder consider extending that 12-month time frame to 36 or 24 months.
Councillor Bastone, would you accept that?
No. Who moved it?
I'd like to speak, then, if you please, Mayor. On the amendment. Thanks very much. I think that, and really there's a question here about comms and messaging, to hang the sword of Damocles over the people of Bruni when they have, in good faith, demonstrated an overwhelming opposition to the sale of this land and overwhelming interest in doing something really positive with it, and instead we threaten them and hang the sword of Damocles over their heads. Did you know that it's 1 in 5 landowners on Bruni have written to us about this issue? How much more of a community, overwhelming community sentiment do you need before you recognise their good intention and their good faith to do something with this public space, rather than, find a more diplomatic word than threatening. And there must be one that I can't think of, but I oppose this amendment because actually, if, heaven forbids, there are some unforeseen delays, as we all well know can happen, it is unfair to the people of Bruni to rely on the goodwill of this Council, which has indicated in no uncertain terms its intention to sell this land, not just this year, but in previous years as well. It's quite clear the intention of the majority of councillors around this table, what the intention is. It is unfair to say you've got 12 months to do substantial progress, whatever that might mean. What if they build an entire thing on it, and then we say, well, actually, that doesn't count as substantial progress? I mean, we know that it's not a planning matter, so it's up to the entire discretion of this council. And what proof do the people of Bruni have that we have any intention to hang on to this land for them? Every indication is the opposite. I think it's unfair to put the sword of Damocles over their head and say you've got 12 months or else, irrespective of what happens with borders opening with COVID, irrespective of what happens with people coming and going on Bruni, irrespective of the fact that they currently don't have a master plan and money and, you know, and staff help. To give them 12 months when we give ourselves 5 years for Kingston Park seems wildly unfair and really a very unfair imposition on the people who have clearly demonstrated their goodwill, good faith, and have just simply asked that council works with them in a spirit of collaboration and goodwill. And at every step of the way, we've done the opposite. And I think that's a great shame.
Councillor Westwood and then Councillor Midgley. And then Councillor Westheim, did you want to speak again? Or you've got a question?
I want to speak about the Muller Road as well.
Yeah, that's so you wouldn't on this. This is the amendment on the other one. So, yep. So, Councillor Westwood, then Councillor Mitchell.
I have to say that I agree with Councillor Cordova on this one, particularly because previously I've argued about representing the community and representing their wishes, and I can't bring myself to not sell a piece of land when two people or four people have written to us opposing the sale. But I have to say I have received an enormous number of emails and phone calls, and I don't think I could hand on heart say that I was representing the community if I agreed to sell the piece of land on Bruni. I say that with disappointment because I think it is a very good opportunity for potentially lots of different developments, and I think Bruni would benefit as a whole from that, but it's fairly obvious to me that the community are opposed to it, And I like the ideas that they've put forth. I really like that they've taken ownership of the land and committed to do something with it. But I don't think imposing a 12-month time frame is a fair thing to do. So I don't support the amendment.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor.
And then Councillor Fox.
I do support the amendment, and in conversations that I had with the many Bruni residents, I was quite frank with, and actually, and also just want to acknowledge and thank the many Bruni residents who united and collaborated and came together and shared their united Bruni voice. We do know it has sat here for a long time, and I guess the grass has grown and people have mowed it. In fact, I was let known that the community has gathered together and actually taken some action. They've mowed the lawn and they've done a few other things, maybe some weeding and things like that. I don't know if that's allowed to happen, but anyway, I was told that's what's been happening over there. So I think putting a bit of a... I believe we've got flexibility. It might look like it's a bit of a hard and fast, substantial process within 12 months, but I mean, come on, we've got the community at heart. I think there is flexibility with a capital F. I think that, we can, if COVID hits us again, we will know that if they haven't done it, if whatever substantial is, I just think there's flexibility there, but I think it is important to put a 12-month, because it gives them that get up and go. They've got some ideas that they want to do, and I've been very frank in the conversations and said, that is great, but how... I want to see some action happen. If you really want to make something like this happen on Bruni, I'd love to see some action. I've been told they've got the money, they've got funds, they've named several different people who can fund this, they've got a vision. So let's give them a time frame and give them some impetus to actually make some action happen. Probably there will be some work with council staff, I'm sure, in regards to them placing public art or have to make the infrastructure and planning requirements and all that kind of thing. But let's give them some get up and go and give them a bit of a time frame. And I'm sure that we'll be flexible and we can move around that. We're not going to be hard and fast. The community has a vision, but we understand things get in the way. So, yeah, I support the amendment put forward by Councillor Bastone on this.
Councillor Fox.
Thank you. I agree with everything Councillor Midgley says, and they are all good reasons to not support the amendment. I think we should be open-minded. We should let the community have their say and allow for time for planning and proper planning and consultation, so that there might be some people there now who are running with the horses and coming up with all these great ideas, but they might not have all the community behind them. And it does take a while for the community, the Bruny Island community, to come up with a united position. And I think it'll take them 6 months. And then they've got another 6 months to get it all planned and done. And I think that's asking too much. And I'm not going to suggest changing it to a longer time, but I think this is draconian, and I think we should just drop it and be flexible and be open-minded and see what they can come up with and be positive. Thank you.
Councillor Rice.
Look, I've heard all this. I'm not afraid of that clause for 12 months, to be frank, because I know the community. And I know that they will get straight onto it. My biggest problem is, I guess, and I'm not sure whether the mayor said they won't need planning permits. I guess, did you say that?
Oh, definitely. Oh. No, I promise you I didn't say that.
No, sorry then.
So they need the consent of... If they came up with a proposal, they need the consent of council to actually do it. So we need to approve what they're doing. But also from a planning perspective, they might need a development application if they were to develop, you know, certain things or structures or whatever, like they would in any other location.
Yes, and if that's held up through no fault of theirs, it will be taken into consideration, of course. And I'm happy with that that motion, and I'm sure the people on Bruny will be, as far as their consultation's concerned, once they get their plan together in council. That's why I asked Mr. Dominey to have an input into it, so that with his knowledge, and he has shown some great knowledge in the time he's been here with his council, and I'm not just pissing in his pocket, but he has, and I've seen it in action. And he gets on very well with the community, and I thought, well, you know, he can say, no, go this way or go that way. But I've said my two bobs worth there, and please support it.
It's a shame we're not on Facebook, Councillor Gray.
I have a question too.
Yep. Okay.
Could substantial progress be community consultation? I would say yes.
It's up to the councillors, Councillor Midgley. Exactly. Could what? I think what the motion. My read on the motion is that it is this group of elected members will sit down and say, do we believe they've made enough progress to justify keeping this land? Because we don't. Nobody. I don't think. No, that might be wrong. Most people don't want to see the land left with nothing on it and nothing happening from it. So I think we're all keen to see that not happen, and my belief is that we'll be reasonable about it in our assessment if this passes. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. My question is, can the council still revisit the sale of land without Clause C as amended?
Yes.
And if that is the case, does that not therefore make Clause C a little bit redundant?
I don't think it's redundant, because I think the message that Councillor Bastone is trying to give, and I think Councillor Grace actually spoke about it well, is that we want to show some faith in the community and tell them that we want to see action. They've made some commitments to us in writing. Some of the submissions have said, give us a chance. In fact, I think that was the words, give us a chance. We've got a vision, we've got a plan here, and I think this is saying, let's see what you've got to offer, and if things die and nothing happens, then we can revisit it. But I think it's an important message to the community.
If and they want to involve councillors, let me tell you, they want the councillors to be involved with them.
Again, Councillor Grace, quite out of order, Councillor.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for that interjection. If if there is an expectation that the people of Bruni need to show good faith to the council, would not a reciprocal show of good faith be for this council tonight to provide, say, $5,000 as an act of good faith to help them out on their merry journey?
I think the act of good faith is that we've listened to their concerns and we had intended to sell this, and the motion as it stands is that we are not selling it as an act of good faith to say to them, we've listened to your concerns, we've heard all the comments, we've received your submissions. That's the act of good faith. You were a part of the council when we, for example, passed the play space and playground strategy in March of this year, and unanimously passed, in fact, that night, and to start funding projects that don't sit within our play space and playground strategy, I think would be a mistake.
My final question, Mayor, is just to be clear, please elaborate. Are you actually saying that not selling this community-owned land is an act of good faith? Not selling it is our gesture to them, when one in five people in Bruni don't want it, and our act of good faith
to
them...
Point of order, Mayor. I've finally had enough. Yeah, that's not a question.
That's...
question.
Is it... I was happy to answer it, but... I think, well, look, we've advertised to sell the land, and we've said we're going out for public comment. We've received overwhelming public comment that says don't sell the land, and so our response so far tonight, if this motion goes, the motion was the one, the amendment, if the motion's carried, then I think it will be showing good faith in the community. We believe them that they are going to develop this site. I think that is a positive step. The alternative is to completely ignore them. I don't think that's a good move. Councillor Bastone with a question, or to sum up the amendment, if you like.
No, I just, my light's on because I want to speak about Namala Road.
But we're on the amendment that you
yes,
moved.
Yes, I know. So it's...
So you're summing up?
Summed.
Great, okay. Excellent. So the amendment put by Councillor Bastone and seconded by Councillor Wass is to add C, Council revisit the sale of land at Alona if there has been no substantial progress from the community in developing it as a public space within 12 months. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Aye. We'll have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Grace, Street, Bastone, Reet, Midgley, Wass and Winter. And those against is Councillor Westwood, Fox and Cordova. The amendment is carried. So we move back to the substantive motion. Now, so far I have spoken Councillor Grace, Cordova, Bastone, and I think we're up to Councillor Westwood is next on my list. But Councillor Bastone hadn't finished the substantive commencement, which is now when she gets to talk about other things. Sorry, Councillor Bastone, then Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. With Gamala Road, this is a property that was acquired by council 20 years ago for road widening. Now, Gamala Road is a road I've been talking on and asking for Mr. Reeve to not personally repair it, but to put it high on the priority list. The house was knocked down 20 years ago for the road widening, and every time I've asked about Gamala Road, I've been told that we're waiting, that maybe a subdivision will happen, maybe this, maybe that. There is a limit to how long you should wait on these things. And when I look at the priority of works, Gamala Road is not to be done till 2023, the start of the planning of it. And I am asking Mr. Reeve if he could not bring it forward to 21-22 in light of the fact they've been waiting 20 years now since the house was knocked down.
Is that a question or?
Yeah.
Mr. Reeve, can Mr. Reeve grab a microphone?
3 Mayor. Certainly all the capital works come before council there for consideration there, both for the upcoming year's capital works but also to consider what works might be in the 5-year plan as well at the same time. So there is the opportunity for councillors to bring forward any particular project they wish to see at any given time there, and if that's the wish of council there to actually bring that project forward, by all means, that would be the time to actually raise it.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. For my substantive contribution, I wanted to focus on representing the community as a whole, as opposed to representing a minority of residents who aren't happy. I guess in this role, what I've learnt is that no one ever likes any decision 100% of the time, not even my mum. So you have to take a really big picture and not be open to lobbying. Definitely open to listening, but lobbying I don't think results in good outcomes for the community as a whole. In response to some of the statements made about funding the playgrounds, this is not about what we do with those specific playgrounds. We have a playground strategy, we have a public open space strategy. All we're doing is earmarking that these playgrounds are in need of some funding, and I'm sure, as has been highlighted tonight, we have some excellent staff who have undertaken outstanding community engagement, particularly in relation to Silverwater Park. I think we've probably set the bar a little bit too high because it's certainly been absolute textbook perfect engagement on that, and I would, my expectation that would be in some way, shape or form we would engage with the local community to ask what they need in their local playground. If you live on 5 acres, I don't think it is as important to have a playground right next door to you because you've got your own playground. But certainly for the children who live in Blackmans Bay, particularly in the area of Alamo Close, that playground can definitely do with some money and a bit of love and care. I had a couple of questions in relation to Jamala Road. If the land is not sold, what are the options for the remaining piece of land that would be left over after the road widening?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I guess the options are somewhat limited given its zoning as light industrial. So, you know, you couldn't develop it as a pocket park within that zoning. So I guess if it's not sold and we do the roadworks, it'll just remain as a vacant bit of land.
Okay. The one we haven't mentioned is Snug Tears Road. So I note that a response was received from Crown Land Services indicating that consent for the sale would not be granted and that the land should revert back to the Crown if not required by Council. What, given we've decided not to sell it, what is the future, what are our future options around that? Do we still require the land, or are we going to hand it back, or are we going to give the Land Care Group the opportunity to rehabilitate it?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I believe that having now flagged with the Crown that we have identified we don't have a use for the land, they will be requiring it revert back to them.
So can we pass on the representation we got that there is a group interested in potentially rehabilitating that space, please?
Through you, Mayor, we can certainly do that.
Thank you. My final question was in relation to 5.6 about some real estate agents who've contacted council during the public advertising period and expressed an interest in managing the sale process. All of these agents will be invited to submit an expression of interest. I guess I just want to make sure that we will put out an expression of interest to potentially anyone who hasn't already contacted us, not just people who have contacted us.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, yes, we will go through a open process with respect to that matter.
Thank you.
Councillor Street, then Councillor Midgley. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. I think to most of my colleagues it's probably fairly apparent that before, when I spoke on the amendment, I got mixed up, actually spoke on the substantive. So for the avoidance of doubt for anybody who's listening on, my previous comments were in relation to the substantive motion and should be taken as such.
Very good. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor.
So, this matter across all councils, I think the sale for properties for disposal would definitely be a contentious matter for communities. Communities know their patch, they love their patch, they know their local neighbourhood, so they speak up about that. And then we also have to think about the not in my backyard as well sort of sentiments as well. When we look at that approach, I think Councillor Westwood sort of adhered to that. We can't agree and speak up for everybody. We do have to take a big view in regards to this. And lobbying is great, and I encourage people to advocate and lobby for their community. Because you do provide that on the ground understanding of where you live. So thank you very much for all those people who have brought forward their emails and phone calls to council so we understand your patch and the significant values of the land that we're considering tonight. I'm glad that the properties that have been removed but I unfortunately cannot support this motion because I do not support the sale of the Roslyn, the 281 Roslyn Avenue. And I feel quite sad about that because I really support the playground strategy and the audit, and it is a much needed and important matter for our community. The early years are fundamental for children, fundamental for physical well-being, for activity. They provide significant foundations, and we can do a study across Tasmania, national, worldwide, of the significance that play spaces and playgrounds can provide for children for this. Also the emotional and connection and well-being for carers, parents and grandparents that playgrounds provide. We can't, I guess, to put a dollar value on that, it's really hard to reach. There's so much social and physical significance for the early years. But it's the 181, the Roslyn Avenue that I really, sorry, the 281 Roslyn Avenue that I just does not sit well with me. And I hope that in the future we don't regret the sale of that particular piece of land. I have a vision, I think, you know, for that place, for that space, and let's hope that we haven't made an incorrect decision. I also, in the report, just a note, it would have been great, and perhaps maybe for next time if we do have reports in this matter, it would have been great to actually include the previous reports, that when people in the public are actually reading this agenda item, that they know that this has come to council before. The previous report did provide like quite a bit more detail, and I feel that this report really doesn't provide, and I guess from the community's mind, like enough sort of detail for us to consider. It would have been great to have a detailed criteria and weighting table for each property so that we can really, so we can revisit, and the community can understand the really strategic values and assessment of each property, that this kind of would have really looked at and highlighted the natural values, the habitat connectivity to other public properties, the significant trees and habitat values for this, the location of other public open spaces or public land that is available in regards to the decision of these properties for disposal. I feel like that was a bit lacking in the report, and it would have been great for community to understand that as well. The riparian values, also noting more information about planning issues, so what's required to sell it, e.g. rezoning, title adhesions or subdivisions, rights of ways, etc. That would have been great to have that information as well. Landscape values, any heritage values, foreshore values, infrastructure values, and also, I guess, Alana really is the only one that perhaps could be significant for that, but it would have been great to have a note around climate change buffer. Does it protect private property? Does it assist from the impacts of sea level rise and or flooding? So I felt like the report was lacking with some of those sort of comments, and it would have been great to have a bit more of that information. But I do support almost all the motion except for the Roslyn Avenue one, and yeah, let's hope that, look for the future and see how we go. I'm also just a point around, as I raised in regards to the Roslyn Avenue and the Alamo Place, I do feel like there'll be kind of some leftover funds, and I guess that will just be put again into the pool of public open space funds. Is that what will happen in regards to that, or do we get to see, will a report come in regards to the sale of these, and then how much Alamo, say, you know, what the upgrades and costing, will we actually get to see kind of the information in regards to if there was any leftover funds and then where that will be going to?
The motion as it stands says that the B says that the balance will go into the public open space account, but whenever we spend money through that account, it always comes to council for a decision. So the answer is that if we had additional money, I'd expect it to come to council.
Thank you. And just one more point in regards to what Councillor Cordova raised. It was in regards to the way that we approached, I guess, the community engagement. And I think the thoughts around the sentiments of the community is at the heart of everything we do. How come we didn't, and I understand there was obligations as to why we did the engagement and notification, but what if we did take that approach of, say, okay, so we've got Alamo Place here that needs an upgrade, we need to sell Roslyn Avenue, that's a parcel of land. Why sort of didn't we turn it around and kind of approach it with the community like that and bring really the community on board on the first instance? I mean, I guess it would have taken a lot of longer time and things like that, but I'm just wondering, why didn't we explore perhaps another way to really, bring the community along rather than kind of create, a bit of unease around?
Well, I think the answer is that it's unclear whether... The last thing I would want to do is set an expectation of a community, particularly around Alamo, that we were going to upgrade their playground when I didn't have a decision that we were going to sell the land that would fund it. And that's, I think Councillor Cordova asked this question at the last meeting as well. To go out there and say we are going to upgrade your local playground, but you have to sell the neighbourhood another block, I don't think that would have been the right way to go about it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm comfortable with the position we took.
Thank you. Just wanting to raise that as a point that was raised. So, yeah, I look forward to the upgrade of the playgrounds. I am sure that the community will as well as our children in the early years. But, yeah, as again, cannot support the motion due to the sale of the 281 Roslyn Avenue, but support all the others.
Councillor Fox.
I've probably said enough during the debate on all the amendments, but I would like to emphasise that empty land doesn't actually cost council any money, and I think it's a very sad precedent that we're actually selling the farm to pay for equipment that is going to depreciate. So in the long term, I don't think this is a good decision, and I think it's that's really how I feel, and I'm not going to support this motion. Thank you.
Thanks. I think the comment that I recall most from the debate tonight was Councillor Cordova saying that the community was presented with a foregone conclusion, which I think has been proven to be incorrect tonight, because if this motion proceeds, then we will have listened to the two largest volume of concerns that came to us, one from Bruny Island and one from Margate, and decided not to sell the land that we had only a few weeks ago intended to sell. I think Councillor Westwood said, We were listening, and that's what happened. I don't agree with almost any of the arguments presented to me on the Ilona land sale. The arguments I didn't think were well put, and I don't usually like to listen to, go on the quantity of the arguments rather than the quality. But in this case, it was pretty clear there was almost none, if not no support whatsoever, for selling the block of land. It was presented to the community by various people that council was going to sell the land and spend the money somewhere else, which we were never going to do. We were going to spend the money down the road at the Ilona playground. If we had additional money out of that, potentially progress other components of our play space and playground strategy. It was presented that the land was a gift. It wasn't a gift. Gifts are philanthropic, and they are provided in the actual fact. The Hinsby Reserve is an example of that, where we haven't considered sale because it was a gift. Public open space contributions aren't gifts. They are important contributions to public open space, and that's what has provided us with not only the cash through the public open space account, but also various pieces of land that have been developed into public parks and play spaces over the years. Councillor Cordova also, I think, misrepresented the play space and playground strategy by saying it was all about consolidating the number of playgrounds, and he said that he's made another slippery slope argument, and he said that we'll have only four or five playgrounds left. We're not selling playgrounds here tonight. We're actually selling blocks of land that don't have anything on them, and using the money to upgrade play spaces that desperately need the money. The problem we have here is not... the problem that we have here is that we are asset-rich in terms we have a huge amount of land, but we're cash-poor in that we don't have the cash to invest in those pieces of land, and the consolidation is only in the improvement of the play spaces that we have, and potentially new ones in the future through that strategy that we all committed to. And in actual fact, it was a unanimous decision on the 10th of March this year to endorse the playground play space strategy that does briefly talk about where there's multiple playgrounds in the same location we would consolidate and make a better one. The Jamala Road one, Councillor Wostead explained to me how to pronounce it, but I probably did that wrong again, is an interesting one, and I think a decision was made, I'm not sure when it was, to zone it marine and industrial many, many decades ago, and I don't think that council at that time properly considered what would happen to the residents. I read the 99 report, and it was essentially saying that, look, over time the residents will move out, industry will move in, and it'll be all good. And that clearly hasn't happened. And speaking to the residents down there during this, they feel a bit let down and a bit isolated, and I think the general sentiment, they want to get out of there. And whilst I think in isolation selling that block makes sense, I think we need to have a conversation with those residents about the future, because they are now on light industrial land living in homes that are still shaking. And it's probably not a sustainable thing. In the long term, we might have to be a little bit more proactive in that space. The other pieces of land, the thing I want to talk about more positively is what we're going to be able to do because of this. Louisa Hinsby Park at Taruna is in a really nice location, and funds that can now be allocated to that will create something really, really special for that community. And I'm staggered, actually, that anyone wanted to move that amendment, because it's a single block of residential land that could be a home for someone, and we can provide someone with a home and upgrade the public open space that is at the moment nothing. We've also got Mount Pleasant Road. I mean, that lot is perhaps blessed with more public amenity close to it than any other lot anywhere in Kingborough. The sports centre, the school, the ovals, what a great location for families to be there, and also on such large blocks that they're on there. Roslyn Avenue, the closest I got to someone convincing me tonight was Councillor Minchley on that location, the strategic importance of it, and I did consider that, but I think the benefit to improving Alamo Close Park, and I know Councillor Wass has spoken about this as well, it's a playground that I'm desperately sad about the state of it, because it feels like that area has been a little bit forgotten in terms of its playgrounds. I'm glad that the strategy and the audit came out and showed it was so important. And Hearn Road, I think it was misconstrued at the start of the debate on that First Amendment that somehow there was this huge community uprising against selling the lot. I didn't hear any of it. So I'm really pleased with this outcome. I think we've made the right decision on the to move ahead with 4 out of 6 and to listen on those other concerns that we heard. I'm happy with the process, and I'm looking forward to seeing some play spaces upgraded. To sum up the debate tonight, it was moved by Councillor of Grace.
Well, thank you all. I thank you all, Mayor. It's been a long debate, and yes, there's always some people that's going to be disappointed, but at the end of the day, that's our decision. Thank you. I hope you all support it.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Grace. It was moved by Councillor Grace and seconded by...
That's a great...
Councillor Reet, and the motion, we better read it for the... Can you have to scroll up to the motion, Mr. Smee? We better read it for the tape. The council resolves to sell the following properties by listing with an agent on the open market in accordance with the provisions of section 177 and 178 of the Local Government Act 1993, with the proceeds of the sale transferred to the Open Space Fund and allocated for investment in accordance with the Kingborough Play Space and Playground Strategy 2025 and Kingborough Play Space and Playground Audit 2020 as follows: 110 Channel Highway, Taroona, with the proceeds going to Louisa Hinsby Park, Taroona. Lot 2, Mount Pleasant Road, Kingston, with the proceeds from the sale allocated to investment in Willowbend Park, Kingston. 281 Roslyn Avenue, Blackens Bay, with the proceeds from the sale allocated to investment in Alamo Close Park, Blackens Bay. And 41 Hearne Road, Blackens Bay, following the creation of an easement on the title to provide a public right-of-way through the Opal Drive Reserve, with the proceeds from the sale allocated for the investment of the Donohue Gardens, Blackens Bay. B, the balance of any remaining funds to be held in the Open Space Fund for investment in accordance with the relevant strategic plans. And C, Council revisit the sale of the land at Alana if there has been no substantial progress from the community in developing it as public space within 12 months. All those in favour, please say aye.
Sorry, can I just ask a point of order? There's a couple of things. Further up, I think the seconding is wrong. It said Councillor Wass rather than me. And...
So that's one of the amendments.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We really are out of order here, Councillor Reed. Yeah, okay. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? We'll have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Councillor Grace, Street, Bastone, Reed, Westwood, Walsh and Winter. And those against is Councillors Fox, Cordova and Midgley. The motion is carried. What we're going to do now is have a break for about 10 minutes. I'm going to do this Facebook video telling people what we did and apologising for the audio. And then we'll come back at about 8:35 and hopefully a bit quicker.